be like myself anymore. I'm like a lost key in the kitchen drawer, just waiting for someone to show me to the door. But onwards and upwards, baby.
Hey up, my name's Ben, and you're listening to Natter, which is a monologue of all the Stoke City-related things currently in my head. There's three things I wanted to talk about today. One being the absence in podcasts for 2022 and my plans for the rest of the year. And then Stoke City season, basically on the pitch, and then Stoke City season off the pitch. It's very rare that I talk about either of those two on this podcast, and it is normally during this little series I do just to get things off my chest. And trust me, there's plenty of things I'd like to get off my chest, particularly in the last few months has been interesting for Stoke nonetheless. So without any further ado, let me just get into it. Okay, so first thing, I said it in the B-side of Fall 50 in the intro, I'm really sorry for the lack of uploads in 2022. I said towards the end of last year that I wanted to get back into podcasting, and then me and Martin Cook did a great series over Christmas that took up 25 episodes, and then there was an upload in February, which is the A-side of Fall 50, and I thought, hey, we're in here, we're back again, and yeah, another month had passed, and I just want to get off my chest, because I know, you know, this podcast isn't the most popular, but those that do listen, I'd like to think that you listen to quite a few, and I appreciate those that do listen, so, you know, I feel owed almost to give a little bit of an explanation. So, to be honest, I've had a lack of focus over the last probably 6 months or so. I got COVID, that started things off, then I moved out towards the end of last year, now living in Solihull with my girlfriend, happy days, but stressful nonetheless, getting rid of my old place, moving the stuff in, making sure I'm happy here, which I am, by the way. Then Christmas came, and the lead up to Christmas was great because I got stuck into the podcast again. I love that series with Martin. If you haven't listened to the Advent Calendar, go back and have a listen. And then my brother got married about a month ago now, or thereabouts, so that was really exciting. You know, I was best man, so I was getting prepped for the wedding, lots to do. And then just having a bit of, you know, an up and down about my job as well. And you know, focusing on that, really. And I think all of those are excuses, to be honest, because I think I've felt relatively apathetic towards Stoke, and that certainly didn't help. I'll get on to talk about that in a minute, because I think a lot of people are in the same boat. And I know I don't talk about current stuff really on this podcast, but it certainly was a thing. Yes, other things I think take precedent, and my life did come first at that point, but it's my responsibility to find a routine again. During the pandemic, for example, I was uploading every week, basically. A lot of you know that, and I can't do that anymore. There's other priorities in my life. But then I do want to get back into this podcast, but I don't think that Stoke helped. Having said that, though, now that my life is much clearer and I want to find things to do again, and this is absolutely number one on the list, there's new things in the pipeline. So File 51 is already recorded. File 52 is partly done. A little bit of logistics needed to get that back up and running, but it absolutely will be. And then File 53, I already know who that's going to be. Need to get that arranged and recorded. So that should cover, I mean, at least a month or two, I'd have thought, for uploads. And then there's new projects on the way as well. For those of you who don't know, I've always said that I would do my episode of the files for File 56, a number that means, you know, a couple of things to me. Just a number that's always come up in my life, and I always said that File 56 would. If I made it to 56 episodes, I feel like I'm justified in giving my my Stoke experience too, after, you know, 55 people have decided to, you know, tell theirs. So we're on the road to 56, I take it. And like I say, I've got three files already, you know, that are either done or need to be done. And then there's a couple more, and then there's a lot of work that I want to do for File 56, which is going to be a little bit different to, you know, how I do things usually. That will probably coincide somewhat with the podcast birthday. I usually do, for the last couple of years anyway, I've done sort of compilations for, you know, the start of May, I the start of this podcast, so I guess this would be the third anniversary of this podcast, so whether I do another birthday special, probably something like that. And then I also want to extend the work that me and Martin did with the advent calendar. I thought it was great to go back on, you know, the moments in Stoke City's history. I've already got plans, or ideas anyway, to extend that train of thought, I think, and it'd be good to explore that. That might take a little bit longer, but that's certainly something I want to do. You know, the 1256, you know, birthday and that are the things in my head that I'd like to do within the next 6 months or so. And long term, this is something I really want to throw myself into. I plan to keep this platform around for a while, as long as I can. But there's three things generally I think I'd like to do. I'd like to improve the match day experience for people. How that could be, you know, is not totally defined yet, but I'd love to do that. I'd love to celebrate the good work that Stoke fans do. I really would. I think a lot of good work that Stoke fans do goes unnoticed, and, you know, however I can, celebrating that and rewarding that, maybe to some extent, be great. And then bringing fans together as well. I think sometimes, particularly for the remote fans, it can feel a little bit lonely. You know, I'm an isolated fan in many ways, so, you know, finding a way to bring fans together would be fab. So, you know, maybe they're a little bit longer term, but, you know, I've certainly got those ideas in my head. But I think it's the bread and butter for the time being. Plenty of files on the way. As I said, I've got no schedule for this podcast. I really haven't. It's not going to be weekly on the Sunday like it used to be, but I'm hoping and optimistic that it should be more regular than it has been over the last 6 months or so. So make sure you follow the podcast on social media, everything like that, on your podcast platform as well. You know, get notified if you like, if you're into that sort of thing. But yeah, that was just me giving a bit of an explanation as to where I've been and what I'd like to do. A little bit self-indulgent, I think. But nah, it's my podcast. I can do what I want. And if you're still listening, then happy days. Okay, so I also wanted to talk about Stoke City's season. I'll probably do something before the end of the season anyway. And I often put my views somewhere, whether it be on my personal Twitter or I'm on a few things these days somehow. But it's deja vu, isn't it, basically, for Stoke season this year. We've been here before. This is potentially, you know, a little bit worse, maybe not in result or anything, but certainly in terms of how it feels, this feels worse this time. Our season's tailed off again after a promising start and then an injury, a season-defining injury. And plenty of people have said what's going wrong. You know, we're not creating enough chances at the top end of the pitch, you know, and a toxic home crowd is fueling bad form, and it's a vicious circle in that sense. You know, our home form has been terrible, and whatever happened to Fortress Britannia, etc., etc. And plenty of people have talked about the causes as well. There's been injuries, as I said, to key players. There's been so many injuries, like long-term injuries to key players, and I'd like to see if there's another club in the Championship who's suffered specifically because of them. You know, refereeing decisions, I think every team has them, but I certainly don't buy this. It evens out by the end of the season. It really doesn't. I really don't think it does. How can it? And then some tactical ineptitude as well, I'm not going to lie. And then just players not performing when they should be. You know, certain motivations with contracts, I think, are playing in towards the end of the season. But some people just haven't shown up this year. And to be honest, as I touched on, Stoke fans are unhappy. But I don't think anyone's talking about really the root cause why, or as far as I've seen anyway. You know, because it's not the end of the world what's happening to us. You know, we're not in a relegation dogfight. We're just in a very bad run of form. Obviously, we'd like to get back to the Premier League, and I think that that's potentially our problem at Stoke. It's the expectation versus reality, in a way. You know, when we first got relegated, we were desperate for a quick return, and we threw everything at it, the kitchen sink at it. You know, we bought a new manager. we bought £60 million worth of players, I think, and we tried to build the best team and staff together to get promoted, and it didn't work. And because of that, we knew as Stoke fans that we were in for a tough few years ahead, because, you know, financially we had to cut back. And yet our expectations are still the same despite that problem. I think that partly, you know, it's because a lot of modern Stoke fans particularly have been used to the good times, and it's a shame to see what's happening now. So this is the worst they've ever seen it. Other people, they've seen much worse. But I think it's also fueled by, you know, the club as well. The club's expectation for us is to get promoted. And I'm not saying it's an unfair challenge. I want us to be ambitious. I think we all want ambition at the club. I know it's a bit of a cursed word. I do want us to be ambitious, but is it realistic, really, when we've spent, you know, money on free transfers and, you know, a squad that is got so many young players and so many of the elderly players? You know, we've got very few, you know, players that are at the peak of their game, and you've got clubs like, we're never going to be in Fulham's position, but they spent more than the rest of the league combined on players. And you've got other clubs that are willing to back their manager and have the capacity to back their manager as well. Even had new managers. I'm not saying that that's the path that we should go down, but you see what I mean? Other teams were in a position where they could change things. And we haven't been for a couple of years now to probably how exactly we'd want to. So should we still be expecting promotion, or should we be saying, you know, it's a waiting game to some extent? I think we know that deep down, but I think that this is why it's fueling a poor atmosphere. You know, I don't think, you know, so we treat every loss as if, like, damn, this has blown it again. And this is why we're so frustrated. And I think it's even more frustrating when, you know, we feel like we should be getting more, and we've seen that we can get more as well. The start of the season was pretty incredible, really. You know, we were in the top six, and we looked like, you know, with the win against Brest Brom, we could have pushed for the top two, but, you know, Sousa got injured and form dipped off, and I think that's the thing. We've seen better. Short-term and long-term, we've seen better from Stoke City, and I think this is the source of the frustration. Do expectations need checking? Yes, probably to some extent. Is that easy to do? Absolutely not. I don't know how you do that. But O'Neill was talking about a 5-year plan at Stoke, and he's only 24 months to 36 months into that. I mean, I had no idea about this. I don't think many people did either. So the club know that they've got to be patient, and it feels like the fans aren't giving themselves the right to be patient. That's almost what it feels like, you know. We are allowed to have bad dips in form. We're allowed to have players that, you know, don't fit the system. And how you fix that, I'm not sure. Lowering expectation is very difficult. It's easy to raise expectation. You just say what your expectations are, I guess. But lowering that expectation once you've tasted something so good, I think it's very difficult. So I think the progress off the pitch has been good over the last couple of years, but we need to build on that now, particularly with the CEO, Tony Scholes, departing, and new people stepping into those senior roles at Stoke City on the footballing side and the not footballing side, which I'll go on to. But I think there's got to be signs that Stoke City are evolving and modernising, because I think we've missed out on that, and there's plenty of people that would agree. Tony Scholes did a lot of great stuff for Stoke, was involved in the Premier League, and, you know, we'll wish for those times back again. But I think the way we run our football club, particularly with the CEO as well, was old-fashioned. It's a lot of, you've got a few people with a lot of responsibility, and I think attention can be diverted, right? It's very hard to focus on the one thing that's really important and also the other things that also add up to the thing that's really important. So I think having a new structure in place, however that is, can only be good for Stoke City as long as we follow, you know, what other clubs are doing and, you know, modernising. And the owners need to trust people to act accordingly, you know. Give them not free rein, but give them responsibility. You know, set them targets and see how they get on, rather than trying to get your hands dirty yourself all the time. That's my rant over on Stoke City on the pitch. Go on, I'll talk about off the pitch as well. So, off the pitch, I think the biggest problem we have at this football club right now is that fan engagement has dropped off significantly. And the apathy is on the rise. And that, again, is a real shame, because this club does so many good things, particularly with trying their best at least to give fans the cheapest experience possible. They've done so much with like season tickets and free coach travel and City Sevens to try and get new people in. Hell, for the Blackpool game, you could buy tickets for a tenner, as many tickets as you wanted for a tenner, and they got a big crowd. I think they really do try their best financially to try and help us, but I think there's other things that could be done to salvage this. Clearly, these things on their own are not working, or they're not effective. And these initiatives really are great, but I think there's some soft touch things that they're missing out on that would help, you know, get fans engaged again. We all know about the new structure happening at Stoke. It sounds like we're bringing in a new COO who will hopefully bring a bit of focus to the off the pitch matters, to the fan experience, which is pivotal, really. You know, having somebody focused on that entirely, I think, is so important. And they'll be able to see, as a fresh pair of eyes coming in, you know, how we compare to other clubs and what we could do better. I think the stadium renovation that we've heard about really could be pivotal. What gets addressed? Stoke haven't ruled out things like a fan park, for example. I think that would be interesting, you know, a way of bringing fans together, not just for the 90 minutes in the concourse, you know. If they're in the concourse for 90 minutes, they're probably having a better time than in the stands. I meant 90 minutes in the stands. But yeah, just giving people a reason to be there early, you know, make it a day and make the football not the be-all and end-all. I've said this so many times. We have talked about this so many times on the podcast before. I think a fan park would help with that. I think more reasons to love Stoke. Celebrate ourselves more. Celebrate our history more. How we do that, I know that our media resource is somewhat limited. Whether we increase that, whether the COO decides that, you know, that's a priority and we increase that, or whether that's something as fans that we could help Stoke with, it's something that, current events are great, but when they're not going well, you need to try and boost fans another way. And we've got so much to celebrate, whether it be former players, whether it be our recent history, whether it be our long-term history. There's so much to celebrate about, and I think we need to remind some fans, particularly the newer fans, who were talking about how, you know, their expectation is so high because that's all they've known. These new fans need educating about, you know, not just how bad we've been, but how good we have been and what a good club we are to support. You know, we're not just a disappointment at the moment, you know, with lots of other things deep-rooted too. I think, for example, the League Cup celebration, I feel like more could have been made of that. You know, 50 years since we won a trophy could be seen as a big negative, but also, you know, having that there and, you know, it's something great to celebrate. Make a huge deal of it. We've won one thing in our life. As Stoke City fans, we need to celebrate that. And I think also we need some human connection with the players as well. For anyone who's not read it, Nick Powell did an interview with Duck Magazine, which you can also find on the Stoke Loud and Proud website. However you get your Stoke news, whether it be Duck, whether it be Stoke Loud and Proud, go and have a look at either one. Nick Powell interviews on there. For me, things like that are just great at giving fans an insight into the fact that these players are human beings and they're not just footballers that take a lot of money away from our football club and they're not just waste of space. I don't know what it was like, but for me, like, I sympathise a little bit more with Nick Powell because I see him as more of a human being. Like, he was just opening up about his time as a young boy and his time as he joined Crewe and how he was a bit of a hothead. You know, wanted things to go his way all the time. And then it was when he was speaking to Nathan Jones about his match fitness, and all of a sudden, you know, that made a huge difference to his game. And then how he'd love to stay at Stoke now. And he wants to make his mark on Stoke and things like that. It just sounds great, doesn't it? You know, someone, whether it's, you know, just PR or whatever, it's great to hear that somebody just wants to, you know, yes, I'm willing to go past my current contract and stay here because I want to make a mark on my time here. It's not good enough if I turn up and Stoke don't do very well. That's great from him, and I'd like to see more of that from the other players that we have. Maybe that's not the greatest example at the moment because, you know, some players may come and go in the summer again. But I think for those that are pivotal to the squad, Lewis Baker looks like he's going to be here for a long time. You know, someone do a long interview with him. You know, the club are the best place to do that, and I think they should. You know, it doesn't just have to be about football. Go deep. You know, go and talk to them on a human level. I think it'll make such a difference. And a lot of these players are good people, you know. We probably have no idea. So I think that Stoke can turn it around, and it doesn't have to necessarily be through the football. I think fan engagement can be raised elsewhere. I think they're missing a bit of a trick, but whether they go about fixing it, who knows. It's been a bit of a miserable end to the season. I think I'm hopeful that next season will be better, you know, with players coming back from injury and just a new lease of life with leadership at Stoke and a new direction. It'd be great to have another reason to be optimistic than just we deserve to be in the Premier League. And with that, that'll close this episode of Natter. I feel like I go on in these a little bit longer than I thought I would, actually. I reckon it's been about 20 minutes. I always feel like, I don't know if anyone's listened, Alan Partridge's Audible podcast, Oast House, whatever it's called. I feel a bit like that, talking to myself. Again, it feels very self-indulgent, and I'm very self-aware of that. But sometimes I need a way to get these things off my chest. There you go. You know, I could talk about Stoke City on and off the pitch elsewhere, but I don't think anyone else is interested in listening to, you know, why I've not been uploading and what my plans are for the future. So here seems the right place for that. But speaking of plans for this year, I said, you know, the bread and butter of this podcast is doing the files, talking to Stoke fans about their journey, experiences and relationship with the club. You know, I want you to come on this podcast. I want you to be, you know, file 54 or 55 or 57, you know, I want to speak to new fans this year yet again. And I'm just reminding you that this platform relies on people like you to get involved. And you don't have to just do the files. There's loads of ways to do so. Head to the wowwowfiles.com, click get involved to find out how. You know, even if it's something completely different, if you've just got an idea for something completely different, it doesn't even have to be about you. But if there's something you'd like us to talk about, some game you'd like us to play, you know, just anything that maybe you've heard from another club and their podcast and that you'd like to see on here, but there's not the room for it elsewhere, you know, tell me, and I'd like to have ideas if anybody else has them. You can get in contact by sending a message on social media at the YYY Files, or you can send an email to the YYYFiles@mail.com as well. All those links, the website, the social media, and the email, all those links in the podcast description. And finally, I'll stop my rant and we'll get back to regular service very soon. And that'll just leave me to say thank you very much for listening to my ramble. And until the next one, Fizzini to Fortior.
Pantomime.